What a can of worms we opened yesterday when we discussed the McGuinty government's Child and Family Services Act. It's awaiting final approval after fighting off opposition critics' call for an amendment giving the Ontario Ombudsman the power to probe decisions by the province's children's aid societies. Children's Minister has turned up her nose at the suggestion, and more than a few CAS officials consider any involvement by the Ombudsman as redundant. But if just a small percentage of the complaints we received overnight about the CAS are true, then the system is in desperate need of independent oversight. We don't normally do this, but considering the response we received, we thought it was important to invite a couple of people who contacted our office onto the show today. In studio is Michelle LaFantasy, who ran afoul of the children's aid officials in another part of the province after she took her daughter out of hospital against doctor's advice. In Ottawa, John Dunn, the executive director of the Foster Care Council of Canada. John, you're a survivor of 16 years in Ontario's foster care system. What did you experience?
Well, during the 16 years that I was in care, I had been moved through 13 different placements. And in some of those placements, I did suffer abuse along with my brother.
What did the Children's Aid Society do, if anything?
We had been moved. Once the abuse was reported, we had been moved to another location, either temporary homes, until they found another home, and just keep moving.
In your opinion, now looking back now, did the CAS do enough for you? Did they protect your rights, and did they make sure that you were put into, I guess, somewhat of a stable environment with people that you felt were adequate to care for you?
Well, the situations that happened were, as a child, I was a bedwetter, so I was being abused. I was only 6 years old till 10 years old, and during that time, if I was wetting the bed, I'd be threatened with pliers on my penis that they'd crush it if I wet the bed again, or I was sat on a furnace and pushed my head into the furnace. And at 6 years old till nine, I don't think I even was aware of the fact that I could have said anything to anyone because you were just living there. So I think there does have to be a little bit more proactive protection as well within the system. Yeah.
Now, you're involved, obviously, in foster care today. Do you think that there are changes to the system? Is it still as bad as it was when you were in the system?
I've heard just as many horror stories today, but I think that there are improvements overall. I think that's just a natural consequence of time, but that there's always room for change, and especially right now with them trying to remove accountability, external accountability. I think that's a very dangerous move, especially when Bill 210 proposes to make such drastic changes to child welfare.
Okay, let's bring Michelle into the conversation. If you could tell us briefly, what brought you into contact with the Children's Aid Society?
Well, my daughter was in hospital being sent from a school for an allergy, an allergic reaction, or so we thought at that time. We weren't quite sure. A few days later, some physicians had wanted to do all different kinds of things, and I was getting different stories and became confused, called her outside allergist because I did not want to do these invasive procedures, and he said, sign her out and bring her to my office. I did that, and unbeknownst to me, once you sign a child out of a hospital, the CAS is automatically called.
So against doctor's orders, you took your child out of the hospital,
right?
And they had no choice but to call the Children's Aid Society.
I'm not sure that they had no choice.
They chose to.
They chose to. The physician who advised us to leave called the hospital immediately after.
So are you on record now as being an abusive parent, or?
Well, it's not an abusive
parent. Well, what exactly is it?
It was, they wondered why I left, I guess, and I think in the hospital they thought perhaps that I was somehow responsible for my child's reactions while she was in school and running around with, perhaps, I think, but I've never seen it, Munchausen's by proxy.
Which is a condition whereby the parent is
making the child
makes
sick.
The child ill, right?
Right.
So now, what's your situation with the CAS now? Do they call you every so often? Do they drop in and visit? Are you on their hit list? What is it?
I think I'm on their hit list. But we, after 8 months of investigation, where they went through all her medical documentation, they closed the file and they told me the case was unsubstantiated. That what they found were none of her doctors agreed, but the social worker, without my consent, as far as I know, called Hamilton. Now, she knew we moved. My husband was transferred here. And we let them know we were going. And they could see our child anytime and did all that and interviewed her. But she let some physicians know that Munchausen's was a query. And I called her and said, well, how could you do that? And she said, well, it was queried. We didn't think you really had it, but it was queried. So when we moved here and my daughter still needed to be followed up, the new physicians jumped on that like a bandwagon. And I read through her new medical records, and it's amazing how they've taken it off, like they found the Holy Grail. And it took 2 years to get her diagnosed as a result.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. Isn't it better to err on the side of caution protecting the child than the parent?
Absolutely not. I think that you need to, as soon as you apprehend a child, you've done the emotional harm you're trying to risk. I think you better have clear and precise grounds. I think if there is a child that you know is being physically abused, or a child's been taken out of the hospital and is life in danger, then yes. I think that you need to draw the line somewhere, though.
Okay. John, let me ask you this. I'm assuming, of course, you're in favor of the provincial ombudsman being able now to probe these decisions by the CAS. Do you think that it will do a drastic amount of good in that, and as I mentioned earlier and Donna had referred to as well, we've gotten a lot of queries from people who wanted to tell us their stories, horror stories about the Children's Aid Society. Will this move by the provincial ombudsman, his ability now to oversee and perhaps react to some of the decisions made by the CAS, how much of a help will that be?
I think it would be extremely important to bringing accountability, just for the fact that if everything is internal as it is at the moment, there's both the ministry and the Children's Aid Society's benefit from keeping these stories from getting out. I mean, there is good work being done. I'm not denying that. But the ombudsman looking into it will definitely ensure that people are more careful about the decisions they make and how things are dealt with. Just like Andre Marin already brought out the disabled kids issue, and those kids were returned back to the custody of their parents. You know, maybe not physical custody, but legal custody.
Right. Fascinating stuff. I want to thank both of our guests, Michelle LaFantasy and John Dunn, for having the courage to come forward and tell your stories, and also for just throwing up a red flag and telling us that you'd like to see a watchdog for the Children's Aid Society.
Absolutely.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.